Good morning. Good morning. Everybody here, everybody down in the sanctuary, excuse me, Fellowship Hall, having coffee. Thank you, Corin. Everybody on the line. So it's always great to be here with you, and Happy New Year. You know, right now is like a time when we typically get our top 10 lists together, and I was thinking about my top 10 list, and, you know, it probably consists of the top 10 rooms that I stayed in my house for the past 6 to 8 months, or the top 10 destinations that I tried to get to only to return because I forgot my mask. And I thought about those things, and I just thought about, you know, some people X off the days of the calendar. You know, some part of me just wants to X off 2020. And then from a church perspective, how crazy it was is, you know, we were putting this sedition on and things got nuts. And then our pastor had to have quadruple bypass surgery because he couldn't just go in and get things cleaned out real quick. So you know, we had all these things going on, and 2020 was nuts. But we have so much to be thankful for, you know? God was in control the whole time, like he is every year, like he's always in control. There were years when there were wars going on, when there were mass famines and pestilences. And one year, our Savior hung on a cross. And God was in control then, just like he's in control now. So let's pray. Father God, blessed be your name, Lord. Thank you for your love, your mercy, Lord. Thank you for the ability to come here into this building and sing songs of praises to you and lift you up, lift up your name. Lord, we just ask you to calm our hearts, to be with us, to let us know that you are in control. You are always in control. You reign sovereignly on your throne. You always did and you always will, Lord. And we praise you for that. And Jesus, we thank you for the sacrifice that you made, which is really the reason why we're here. There would be no reason for us to even be here, we'd be brothers and sisters in Christ. So we thank you for that. And we lift up our time together this morning, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. So I thought about like a New Year's message, you know, like the newer, better you and, you know, all these things that can make such, you know, resolutions for the new year. But what I kept coming back to is the promises of God, the promises that God makes. And some of the promises that he made, or continues to make, they happen instantly. Some of them, they're going on right now, and some of them, they'll come to pass. But all of his promises will be kept. And we know that, and when we look at the verses that we're going to look at today, it's not an extensive list because the Bible is full of God's promises. If we were to look at every promise that God has made, it's basically every word in every page of the Bible. We would be here forever, and I've been given 25 minutes. So what we're going to cover is not an extensive list. It's not like a Dan's top 10 list. It's very small when it comes to the Bible. But it is a group of promises that our Lord made throughout time. And what I want to do is I want to start in the beginning in Genesis. And in Genesis 2:16, God says to Adam, "You may surely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall die." And when I looked at that, the first time I looked at it, and I only saw one promise, but there's really two promises in there. The first promise wasn't the one that jumped out at me. God didn't tell Adam, "If you eat of this." So God's sovereign. He knows everything. He said, you know, "For the day that you eat, you will die." God knew what was going on. God knew his plan. God didn't sit there. When Adam and Eve, when they sinned, when they ate of the tree, God didn't say to himself, "What am I going to do now?" He wasn't caught off guard. So he basically said to Adam, you know, you're going to eat of that tree. And when you do, you will die. And that's the second promise that he made in there. Sin entered the world when Adam and Eve ate of that tree. And we know from Romans 6:23 that the wages of sin is death. So the garden was perfect. You know, it was awesome. There was no virus to worry about. There was no government. There were no politicians or anything like that. It was perfect. But then Adam and Eve, they sinned, and it ruined it. It ruined everything. And it makes us think about how our sins mess up our lives, you know. And that promise that God made, that's a tough, brutal promise that he makes. But his promises will always be kept. His promises will sometimes discipline us because we're his children, and sometimes his children need discipline. So basically at the same time, a little further, but in Genesis 3:14, God makes a promise to the devil, to Satan, to Lucifer. And he says to him, he says, because you have done this, meaning he tempted Adam and Eve, because you have done this, cursed are you above all the livestock, above all beasts of the field. On your belly you shall go, and dust shall eat all the days of your life. So he made a promise. I mean, Lucifer was one of God's favorite angels. And he told him, he said, you will roll on the ground. Like, you are lower than dirt. He said, you are lower than dirt. And in Luke 10:18, Jesus said, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. And picture lightning. Like, what is lightning? Lightning is awesome, and it's instantaneous. It's like, bam, it's lightning. It happens, and it's powerful. And Jesus was saying, I saw Satan fall like that. Like, in a blink of an eye, Satan fell because of what he did. Lucifer had access to the Father in heaven. And in a moment, he didn't. God cast him out. God made a promise, and he kept that promise. In Exodus, Pastor Jack's going over Exodus right now, and he's going to come back next week, and I believe he's going to start back up in Exodus. But he talked about in Exodus 3:17, a promise that God made to the Israelites. He said, I promise that I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt to the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, to a land flowing with milk and honey. And that was a promise that God made, and he kept it. And we can see that. We see that promise being fulfilled in Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and Joshua. We see that God kept good on his promise. He said, I'm going to give you this land, and he did. And not only did he fulfill his promise, but he acted like a father. He taught them. Like, those books, the things that he was teaching them how to be a member of his family, of his heavenly family. He was preparing them. And I think about my parents and how they tried to prepare me, and how I try to prepare my kids. And I remember, I knew my role back in the day. Like, my job was baseboards and silverware. So I smelled like Murphy's oil soap, and I couldn't reach things real high. So some things never change, right? And I got to do the silverware. But I knew what I was supposed to do. And my mom used to always say, hey, when you leave this house, you represent this family. So better not hear anything bad. But you knew your role, because my mom, and she was preparing us. You know, she was trying to prepare us. And that's what God was doing. He was preparing them. He prepares. His word prepares us to be part of his family. The whole Bible is about, obviously, the redemption of Christ. But it's about preparing us to be members of his family, how we're supposed to act. When we look also in Genesis, Genesis 22:16-18, we're looking at Abraham, and God says to Abraham, I will surely bless you, and I will surely multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven and as the sand that is on the seashore. And your offspring shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in your offspring shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice." So God's saying to Abraham, in your offspring, your family, the whole world will be blessed. All these nations, all the languages, it's going to come from your family. And then in Revelation 7:9, we see that promise that God made to Abraham being kept. And in Revelation 7:9, this is John talking. He says, "After this, I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne, before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands." So God made a promise. He made a promise that through Abraham, there's going to be this giant family. And I bring up Abraham because in Galatians 3:29, it says, "If we are in Christ, then we are Abraham's offspring." So what that's saying is believers in Christ, we're all the same family. We're all brothers and sisters in Christ. We're one big family. And we're all the same. So male, female, young, old, white, black, brown, red. Probably not Browns fans. Definitely the Irish, though. So we're all one giant family. Because God's promise to Abraham, the really cool part about this particular promise is this promise is going on right now. Like, this is not a promise that God just cut off at one time. Like, we are part of that. We're fulfilling that multitude. We're part of that multitude, and that's pretty cool. That's pretty cool to be part of a promise of God. And when we obey God and we fulfill the Great Commission and we share Jesus, and people get saved and they're born again, those people are part of our family. So I look at it like this, like a family tree. We've all seen those family trees. And you have Jesus is the base of that tree. He's the roots. He's the base of the tree. And then you have Abraham up. And then you have all these branches that go all over the place. They're all over the place. And then, like, my branch is this little tiny twig off to the side. And then from my branch goes back to all those men and women who brought me to Christ. And they're part of that family. And it goes all the way back, you know, to Abraham and then to Jesus being the base, being the foundation. And my prayer is that my little tiny twig someday becomes a branch. And then I have brothers and sisters that are now part of that tree that lead back to me, that lead back to the men and women that brought me, that lead back all the way to Abraham. And then we're all one. And then when we're all in heaven, we're at that family reunion and we all have our name tags. And it's awesome. We're that great multitude. And that's that promise that God made. God made a promise that we will all be together forever with Jesus. And that's a family promise. And then looking at family promises, to continue to look at family promises, we're going to look at King David. And we love King David. And we love him so much because we are King David. I mean, there's not a more flawed person to look at in the Bible. And who God says, you know, you're a man after my own heart. Like, God loved David. And if you think that there's a sin that you could have, that you would think that there's no way that God could love me or God could forgive me, look at King David, because King David is proof that there's no sin that you can commit that Jesus isn't too big for. And in 2 Samuel 7:12, it starts by this. When this is God talking to David. "When your days are fulfilled and you lay down with your fathers, I will raise up your offspring after you, who shall come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever." So God made a promise to David. And that promise was this: your kingdom will live forever. The Messiah will come through your family. Your grandchild is going to be the savior of the world, is basically what God was saying. And there's over 30 verses in the New Testament that proclaim that Jesus is a son of David. If you look in Matthew, the first chapter of Matthew, in the third chapter of Luke, there's the genealogy. And you wonder, like, why are these genealogies in the Bible? And that's kind of like our family tree in a way. So we should respect it for sure. But when you look at those genealogies, David is smack dab in the middle of both of them. So you can look back and see, okay, God promised David that the Messiah was going to come through your family. And God kept that promise hundreds of years away. So some of God's promises take a while for them to be fulfilled, but he makes good on all of his promises. And throughout the New Testament, when people would see Jesus walking through a town, they would scream, you know, son of David, because they knew who he was. They knew that he was the Messiah. And they would scream to him, son of David, have mercy on us. When Jesus entered into Jerusalem during the triumphal entry, which we called Palm Sunday, they were waving palms and screaming, Hosanna, son of David. They knew who he was. And that was God keeping that promise. And then in Revelation 22:16, Jesus says, and I always trust the word of the one that walked on water, he says that he is the root and the descendant of David. So Jesus is telling you, we know Jesus is God, and there's Jesus saying, you know, I fulfilled this promise. So right now you're thinking, hey, Dan, thanks for the Bible review. That was great. Happy New Year. And you're thinking, wow, what does Luke 24 have to do with any of this? And I chose Luke 24 because when it comes to the promises of God, the real promise is Jesus, it's Christ. And in verse 44, Jesus shares that everything that is written about him, that is in the law of Moses, the prophets, the Psalms, it must be fulfilled. He's saying that there's promises that were made, that were kept. There are promises that are being kept right now. And there are promises that will be kept. And then in verse 49, he shares something that he says, behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you, but stay in the city until you're clothed with power from on high. And what he was doing, this is before Pentecost. So he was telling the apostles and the disciples, you know, he's going to send the helper. He's promising to send them help. And that help is the Holy Spirit. And that's cool because that's extended today. This is another one of those promises that God gives us today. So when you accept Christ, when Christ is in you, the Spirit lives in you, his Holy Spirit. So God is living in you when you have Christ. And that's a promise that he makes. And we can be assured that that promise will be kept. Because when we think about that family tree, and I think about my twig, and I think about the people that the Spirit will use me through to reach out to them, I know that the Spirit, that same Spirit that lives in me, will live in them. He promises that. And he also promises that he is with us until the end of the age. He will never leave us, nor will he forsake us. And we need that promise because sometimes life gets tough. Life gets hard. And we need to know that Christ is with us, that Jesus is with us, that we're never alone. And we always have that Spirit that lives in us. We have our Lord. And then we have our family too. And then that the promise that we're all waiting for now, and that's his return. And there's a plethora. There are so many verses about the Lord's return that I could have chose. But I chose Acts 1, verses 9 through 11. And after he said these things, this is Jesus when he goes to heaven. He was lifted up while they were looking on, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And as they were gazing intently into the sky, while he was going, behold, two men in white clothing stood beside them. They also said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into the sky? This Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will come in just the same way as you have watched him go into heaven." So there's your promise of the return. And that came from the angels, and who would know better? So they were looking at him leaving, and the angels said to them, "He'll come back." They also told him to get to work, but he said, "He's going to return. He will come back." And Jesus says in Revelation 22:12, "Behold, I'm coming quickly, and my reward is with me, to render to every man according to what he has done." So he's coming back. He will be back. And it's going to be the greatest day for some of us, and it'll be the worst days for others. One of the first verses that we touched on in the beginning of the passage was Romans 6:23. And I only read the first part. I said, I read 6:23 in the beginning. "For the wages of sin is death." And that's a promise. But there is such a beautiful, glorious promise as that verse continues. And there's a but there. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ, our Lord. So God is promising us free, eternal life with him. For everybody who's in that family, you know, we repent, we realize what sinners we are and how we can't do it ourselves, and we look to Jesus, and he saves us, and we're with him forever. That's the gospel. That's the good news. We have the good news. We have the good news. We know the good news. God makes really big promises. That's a big promise. But he's a big God. You know, and he will keep his promises. He'll keep his promises. And it'll be awesome. That family reunion, when we're all together, and then we sing these songs this morning, and it's awesome. Can you imagine how awesome it's going to be when he's there with us, like singing? It's going to be incredible. It's going to be the most glorious thing in the world. So my prayer is this. If you're in a place today where you're thinking, I don't know. My prayer is that you realize that you can't do it yourself. Bless you, Augie. You realize that you can't do it yourself. That the only way is through Jesus. There's nothing we can work at. We can't work hard enough. We'll never work hard enough. And it's only through the work of Jesus Christ that we will be at that family reunion with him. Big promises, big God, but he's got it. He's totally got it. He had 2020 the whole time. He has it in the palm of his hand. We tend to get caught up in our little things. I know I do. I know I do. But he's a big God, and he made some big promises, and he will come back. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for your love, Lord. Thank you for the promises that you've made, the promises that you have kept, the promises that you will keep, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you for coming down, leaving perfection, leaving a place that was meant for a king. And you came to earth. You walked with us. You taught us. And then you did what you came to do. And that was give your life so that we could live. We lift you up, Lord. We're fallen. And we thank you so much for coming into our lives and drawing us to you. And we ask you to continue to draw us. We ask you to put people in our lives that we can share the gospel to so we can add to that family tree. We can share your promises with people, Lord. And we can explain to them and show them how you have kept your promises and you will keep your promise. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please rise and sing. Thank you. Father God, we come to you and we ask you for your blessing on this table, Lord, during this time that you commanded us to have in the remembrance of the sacrifice that Jesus made for you, your children, your people. We ask you, Father, to calm our minds and our hearts so that we can reflect on all that Christ did for us over 200 years ago and 2,000 years ago, Lord, and the things that he's going to do for us. Father, please forgive our sins and gently correct us in areas that in our lives where we need corrected as needed. Father, strengthen us this new year. Continue to draw us closer to you. And Jesus, thank you for that sacrifice that you made as we remember this time. Amen. For the Bible says, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on that night that he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Let us pray. Father, you are the bread of life. You are the provider. You provide us with much more than just bread for our stomachs. For those who follow you, Lord, you provide eternal life, eternal peace. And Jesus, you provided the ultimate sacrifice by giving up your life so that we may live. We thank you and we praise you, Jesus. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Take and eat. And in the same way, also he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Let's pray. Father God, we humbly thank you for this cup, a cup that represents the blood of your Son, Jesus, who freely gave himself and shed his blood, was poured out for the remissions of sins. On the cross, Jesus bore our sins so that we can have eternal life. And we proclaim Jesus as our Savior. We proclaim Hosanna in the highest. And we praise you, Lord Jesus, and honor your sacrifice through this time of communion, but we long for your return, Lord, when we make communion with you forever. Amen. Take and drink. As the servers collect the cups, let's prepare our hearts as we sing to the Lord joyfully. Father God, thank you for all that you have done for us, all that you do for us, all that you will do for us, Lord. Your word is mighty to save, and you are gracious, God. You are gracious. We praise you. We thank you for your saving grace. Lord, your word provides us examples of men and women who boldly served you and your people. And we ask you, Lord, may your spirit burn in us so that we may do the same. Jesus, we praise you for the perfect example that you are. We ask you to give us the confidence to proclaim the saving grace of Jesus Christ to a fallen world. You are our Lord, you are our Savior, and in Jesus' name we pray, amen. Please stand and sing.
Peace of God, our Heavenly Father, and the grace.
2020 is overs. Dylan used to say that when he was a kid. He put an S at the end of everything. He'd always say, overs. So we need to make it be overs. And on to 2021. It's a time for resolutions and everything. Jen and I and the kids, we went to a church that every year they would come out with like a new thing. And in 2012, they had 12 things, 12 of 12. So there were like these 12 things that we were supposed to do. And I'm such an underachiever, I couldn't even do one, let alone 12. So, but this year, I think we only need to do one thing, and that's be bold. 2020 was crazy, and I don't see 2021 being much different. But I think we need to be bold when we follow Christ, and we need to be bold in telling people about Jesus because we love people, right? And we want them to be at that family reunion with us. So if you're like on the fence right now and you haven't made Christ your priority, I'm asking you to be bold and make Christ your priority. If you're thinking about a ministry or something that you want to get involved with, be bold. Be bold and do that. Tomorrow night, we're going to be praying here at 6:30. Brian and Amy Miller boldly reached out to Pastor Jack and I last week, and they said, we need to pray. We need to get together, and we need to pray. And I think that was extremely bold of them to do. So we're going to do that tomorrow night. So I hope to see you guys tomorrow night. I love you guys so much. So God bless you guys, and have a great day.